Welcome to the Soldier for Life podcast, where we share information and resources for our military and veteran families, from employment and education to health and wellness and Army retirement. We're here to help you learn more about programs and resources that are available to our Army family. The information shared in this podcast does not constitute an endorsement by Soldier for Life, United States Army, or the Department of Defense. And now, let's get started with this week's episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Soldier for Life podcast. As always, I'm your host, Colonel Jarrett Thomas. Thanks for tuning in today. I recently had an opportunity to travel to Massachusetts on behalf of Soldier for Life, and while I was there, I met with an organization called Soldier On. Soldier On is a nonprofit organization based in Western Massachusetts that is committed to ending veteran homelessness by providing needs-based housing, direct supportive services, and temporary financial assistance to veterans who are at risk of homelessness. We want to delve further into veteran homelessness and the role Soldier On plays in addressing it. So we invited Soldier On CEO, Mr. Bruce Buckley, to be on the show this week. Bruce, we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to sit down and chat with us.
Well, thank you for having us. And again, I appreciate you coming up to visit us and see what we do. I can certainly discuss it, but I'd love for people to see it and get a better understanding. But thank you for having me today.
And just like Bruce mentioned, that visit that I had with Soldier On was very meaningful to me, being able to interact not only with our veterans that are out there, but those that are helping end homelessness. It was a great visit, gave me an opportunity to really see what some of our nonprofit organizations are doing on behalf of our soldiers out there. And so, Bruce, if you could you tell us a little bit about yourself? What is your background? What drew you to helping homeless veterans? And how did you come to be a part of Soldier On?
So I guess life brought me to Soldier On. I didn't bring myself here. I am not a veteran, and I'm a CPA. I had an accounting practice, and a gentleman, Jack Downing, who really stimulated and created Soldier On from his vision many 20 years ago now, had me come aboard and just help him with the accounting when it was a much smaller agency. And I really got bitten by the bug of A, helping people, but most importantly, you know, recognizing the role that veterans have played in creating the life that we all get to live today. And although I didn't serve, this is the service I can provide at this point in my life. So that's how I got here. And I think it's really got bit by the bug and love the men and women that did serve and that I get to serve today.
No, that's definitely great to hear, and really appreciate you, you know, getting involved in such an important topic for our veterans. So really, what is the story behind Soldier On, and how and why was it established?
So it started in 1994, and it was really in response to the VA and the Department of Defense, kind of first programmatically, I think, recognizing that homelessness is and always has been more prevalent in the veteran community than in the general population. And they did that through funding a program called Grant Per Diem, which we still do today, 30 plus years later. And that's really kind of the beginning of Soldier On. And it really was sort of an agency going nowhere for many years. And the board made some changes in the leadership, and they hired Jack Downing, who, as I said, brought me in. I started in 2002. And after running the same program, which is the transitional, for a couple of years, Jack recognized that permanent housing with supportive services is really what a lot of these men and women need. And that holds as true today as it did then. And we started learning how to develop affordable housing, which is kind of a world of its own in this country. But now we've gotten fairly good at it. And then we've coupled that with another program that started in 2012, SSVF, which again is funded by the VA. It's supportive services for veteran families. And that program, we have a lot of staff in counties throughout the Northeast, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, and Massachusetts. And that allows us to work with veterans out in the community and provide financial and most importantly, or as important, I guess, programmatic support, whether we provide it or our other providers in the communities provide it. So all those programs, transitional, permanent, and SSVF, and then we've built an array of programs from transportation to a meals program to employment programs to wellness programs, and I could talk on and on, but we've added a lot to be more impactful as an agency.
Sounds like a lot that you're doing on behalf of our veterans, and I know that it takes a little bit to tackle this issue. So I know that the work that you do, even though it sounds like a lot to our listeners, is really making an impact, you know, on our soldiers as they transition out and some that have to deal with the homeless problem that we have. So if you could you tell us a little more about your mission and how does Soldier On help homeless and at-risk veterans, and how has your mission changed over the years?
Well, I think, you know, the mission, and I'll make it very simple, I think it's my job, it's our job as an agency to end veteran homelessness. That's the mission. There should be no homeless veterans in this country that's so full of wealth and opportunities to give as well as to help the men and women that made this country what it is for the many people that have benefited so greatly by it. So ending veteran homelessness is what I'm about and what we're about. And we help the homeless and the at-risk veterans through the programs I just mentioned. And I'll kind of make this seem a little simple, but at the end of the day, this is really the answer. If you're homeless, you do not have a support system. Whatever the reasons may be, I feel as if that's almost none of my business other than to know how to better help someone. Someone who's homeless does not have a support system. Otherwise, you wouldn't be homeless. And that's what we are. And the support system means help along the way, or in our permanent housing, it's help forever. And we have the means to address it in a lot of programs, both funded by the VA and by the states and the federal government, as well as donations that we receive and other funding sources that help us basically provide what these individuals need. And the mission has really expanded. I'm not going to really say it's ever changed. I think we've gotten better at it over the years. We've learned from it. It's not us imposing some preconceived notion on these veterans. It's us really living with, seeing, talking to, listening to the veterans that we work with, and then figuring out a way to address these shortcomings that, you know, may exist to get them what they need to be permanently, successfully housed and enjoy life that you don't enjoy when you're living on the streets or trying to survive another week or day or month in an apartment.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think that support system is necessary. And because just like you said, I mean, if you had either a support system that's family or friends, you're right, that you probably wouldn't at least be on the street at that particular time. So at least becoming that support system for them, providing the services that you all provide and getting them back on their feet is something that is needed. And I'm glad that Soldier On, provides that, support service for those veterans that are experiencing homelessness at that particular time. And with that being said, why, and you mentioned it earlier, with veteran homelessness being a little above the general population, why is veteran homelessness such a big issue, and how prevalent is the veteran homelessness problem, and what are some of the causes that you see?
It's So, I mean, there's a lot, and what I mentioned will fail to certainly mention all of them. I think there's somewhat the obvious. There's PTSD. There's traumatic brain injuries. There's the impact of service that can have that direct effect on you. Women and men that we see have suffered military sexual trauma, unfortunately. What else goes into it? Historically, veterans have always presented homeless more than the general population. And I think service is part of it. I think what I just mentioned is certainly part of it. It's also a response to men and women often usually go into the military at a relatively young age, you know, 18 to 20 and, you know, early 20s is generally what you see. And a lot of times they haven't really learned the skills to live independently. The military doesn't always provide independent living as part of your service. It's, you know, you're supported in a lot of ways. And often people join the military maybe to get out of a bad situation in their family or their community. So they might come out, certainly most veterans come out very able, but the men and women that we serve have come out of the military with struggles. And then if they've experienced any time in jail, any time, you know, living in the streets, you're just going the wrong direction. And the further you go in the wrong direction, obviously the further you have to go up to get back just to square one. You know, that's, I think, what we see. And again, we deal with all the issues. We partner well. The VA is a great asset, especially if you kind of have relationships with the VA and know how to best utilize and access all the benefits that they do offer, as well as, you know, other providers. That may be vague and broad, but every veteran that I know or see here has a separate story.
That's a great, you know, explanation on what you typically see when you deal with, you know, trying to help some of our veterans that are homeless and getting them back onto their feet again. But just like you mentioned, I think everyone is an individual. Everyone is different. They share, you know, similar experiences with their military background, but just like you said, I mean, you come from different situations prior to the military. You experience some different things in the military, so you have to, I think, you as a soldier on, you have to meet them where they are, you know, to provide those services and to at least make sure that, you know, as you're helping them, you're looking at the individual person and not necessarily the group or the category that they come from. So I think that is a great explanation of where we are with helping, you know, homeless veterans and how Soldier On really looks at the issue itself. If you could talk a little more about the services that you offer to the veterans, like starting with what type of housing you provide for those that are experiencing homelessness.
We provide transitional housing, and that is a program that lasts up to 2 years. It's funded by the VA, and it has men and women who come off the streets, who come out of jail. We're very active in Massachusetts in a jail diversion program for veterans, where veterans do not have to go to jail if they meet certain criteria. They come to Soldier On, and we get them back on their feet before we punish them for God knows what. And we also build permanent housing. And we have right now over 300 units of permanent housing that are beautiful, often new construction. One bedroom is typically what we have. And they're always full, and we've always had a waiting list. And we provide the permanent housing, basically an apartment building, but on top of that, we provide a lot of supportive services that a landlord does not provide. So we really do, I like to say, you know, and maybe it's oversaid now, but we do create a community. And then, as I mentioned before, SSVF allows us to have veterans who are struggling, get them into their own housing, because they certainly many times are able to, they just need help getting there. So we partner with landlords all throughout the Northeast. We work closely with landlords who work with the veterans as a tenant, but we're there to support them. So we can pay rent, we can pay security deposits, we can pay utilities, we can pay other costs to help a veteran from daycare to fixing up their cars, to help them get employed and stay employed. And then we work with the landlord and the veteran. So we actually have housing individuals in our programs that have a lot of relationships with landlords. If the veteran does have some struggles and creates a challenge for the landlord later on, call us up and we help work through it. We just don't say, here you go, good luck with this man or woman. So those are kind of the housing models that we've been pretty successful at and have, you know, really prevented or have eliminated an existing homelessness situation for many of the veterans.
That's great to hear. And like I mentioned to the listeners at the very beginning of our podcast, I had an opportunity to tour quite a few of your facilities, and you know, the housing that is provided to these veterans is excellent. The pride that you all place in the living conditions that you have for our veterans as they you know, go through the transitional housing, and then the veterans who live there, as far as how they are trying to keep up the facility, and they understand that, hey, this is not only housing for them, but housing for other veterans that are facing the same situation that they're facing. Pride at which they take care of, you know, the location is really impressive. And I was happy to see that you may have an idea, or you think you have an idea, of what transitional veteran housing may look like, but to actually see it in person and see, hey, this is somewhere that, you know, individuals going through homelessness, not going through homelessness, I think would all look at and say, hey, this is something that is worth spending some time in as you're getting on your feet and improving your situations. And I know you talked about housing and some of the other services that you provide. If you could talk a little more about some of the services you provide in addition to housing, who they're for, and why do you offer these services in addition to the housing that we discussed earlier?
So basically everybody that works with us, from permanent to transitional to SSVF, has a case manager. And what a case manager does is basically assesses where you're at, what do you need, where do you want to go, how do we want to get there. And they are very knowledgeable on all the resources, both the VA and well beyond the VA, the state levels, and then just community resources, from, you know, food stamps to other community programs. And the case manager would make sure you have transportation to medical appointments or job opportunities or access to benefit appointments. And we also have a peer program. So we employ many formerly homeless veterans who now work for us full time. And they all have a RAV4. They all have a computer and access to the internet whenever they want it. And they work with the veterans at the direction of the case manager to say, okay, they need a ride. We have a transportation system with vans, but we also do one-on-one rides. So the peers offer help filling out forms, talking to the veteran kind of as a peer, and working with them in addition to the case manager. We also, if you move into our permanent housing, we have two full-time attorneys that just work with the veteran. So we would do a will, a power of attorney, a healthcare proxy. And as you saw on your visit, we have columbariums on many of our sites, because many times the veteran, if they pass away with us, wants their ashes to be on site, because this was their home at the end of their life. We, as I mentioned, the justice program with the VA, we're active in with DAs, with courts, and offering a solution at that level to someone, because falling into the court and the jail system, and then if you get out of jail, you go back to your quote unquote the hood that you came from, or the neighborhood or the community, is often a step back in the wrong direction. So we're an alternative that is used by a lot of men and women that is available. We do a lot of transportation. We have about 20 vans, wheelchair vans, and a variety of other vans. We employ primarily formerly homeless vets as drivers and as dispatchers in our call center. And then we provide a meal a day to everybody in permanent housing. If you're in transitional, you get 3 meals a day. In permanent, you're going to get dinner at no cost, which again, most landlords don't provide dinner every night for you if you so choose. That program, other than the director, is employed by formerly homeless veterans that came through our program. We have a wellness director. We have greenhouses on many of our sites, and we do hydroponics, where we grow a lot of vegetables that we consume. The veterans run the greenhouse, and then we either eat them ourselves or we give them back to the community, to providers, food banks that help us. Again, I could keep talking on a lot of the programs, but those are some of the bigger ones. We also, which I did fail to mention, have a telehealth system that we utilize a lot for both mental and physical health. And we have a financial literacy program for veterans that aren't just limited to Soldier On veterans. They're available to any veteran in the country at no charge to the veteran. And that allows us to help veterans improve their credit score, whether it's buy a car, or more often we see a lot of men and women that come through the program end up buying houses through our program. So again, as we've seen issues and barriers, we've tried our best to address them.
You know, when I was on the tour, I think one of the things that impressed me the most was I was surprised to see the amount of teammates that you have employed that actually went through the program, because to see them and talk to them now, I wouldn't have imagined that they experienced homelessness. And that shows how much your program improves the lives of individuals, because even those that are on your staff that experienced it, is a life-changing event going through Soldier On. And the other goodness with that is not only can they, you know, be counselors or provide assistance to those veterans, but they can share some of their experiences that they went through to help point some of our veterans in the right direction. So that was really impressive to me, because I met quite a few and I would have never imagined, you know, talking to them and looking at them and seeing how they are serving as employees now, you know, that they experienced homelessness, but they did. And, you know, they're better for it, and they're helping, you know, veterans that are experiencing it now. And then you also talked about, you know, the greenhouse, you know, several veterans, homeless veterans that worked in that greenhouse, and the amount of food that they are able to produce in that greenhouse not only brought pride to them, but it showed that, you know, you give someone an opportunity to help others, and they're most happy with doing just that. You know, another thing I noticed, you provide, you know, special services for some of the women that are going through the program as well. Can you tell us a little bit about those programs for women?
We started with primarily men when I started 20 plus years ago, and we've expanded into the world of serving female veterans. We built, which is now, I think it was opened in 2016, 16-unit building for transitional housing on a VA campus in Western Massachusetts. And that program proved to be very successful by being very separate from the men. I don't go, or no man goes, to our female programs without them knowing we're coming, because certainly not every woman has experienced military sexual trauma, or if they've been on the streets, suffered sexual trauma, but it is not that uncommon for the women that we work with. And having a very separate, safe place to be is critical in someone's recovery. You just, if you're under stress, if you're always, the adrenaline's always flowing, and you're not going to be able to really accomplish much in that state of mind. So the women's transitional has been very successful. And because of that, we built a separate building in Western Mass, 14 units of permanent housing, that opened in May of 2020, right in the middle of COVID there. And There's 14 women living in it today. I think 11 are the original women that moved in. So it's been very successful. There's been very little turnover. And then in other properties, the building I'm in now in Monmouth County, New Jersey, is 70 units. And we built a separate wing of 8 units for female veterans. They have their own community space. They have their own laundry. They have their own FOB system, and they're more than welcome to be part of the whole community, and many certainly are. But they really, out of the 8 units, there's been one turnover in 2.5 years. So again, that's what we're adding to all of our projects, if we can, is that separate area. And then there are women that live in our permanent housing with the general group, and they don't have any problem. But that's kind of the women's side of it. I think we had a women run it. Women started it. It's never been my vision that's done much with it. It's been my vision has been allow the women to run the program themselves and stay out of the way. And that so far has been more than successful.
No, that's good to hear. And just providing that safe space for veterans, I think is key for them to feel comfortable with, you know, going through this process so that they can get better and, you know, move, you know, to more permanent, you know, conditions outside of homelessness. So I really, really appreciate that. And I know earlier in the conversation, you talked about the support services for veteran families, the SSVF program. Could you talk a little more about that?
Yeah, that program has been successful. It started again in 2012 by the VA, and it kind of took the model of let's see what really is needed and build the program around it. And what it allows us to do is intersect, meet with veterans, again, in shelters, on the streets, in soup kitchens, in tent cities, in jails, couch surfing, all the ways someone can be homeless, meaning not having permanent housing that they have control over. So that program really has broadened and has allowed us to have staff. We don't have offices. We have a mobile service model. Everybody gets a RAV4. Right now, I think we're leasing 130 RAV4s. And that really has been a model that it's our staff's job to get to the veteran. They don't have to get to us. We get to them. And that means going to a lot of places. It means climbing underneath bridges or overpasses or talking to men and women that are homeless on the streets or in various stages of that. It also requires us to partner with many, many providers that work in the same space we do in the many counties in the Northeast that we work in, as well as police and first responders and a variety of individuals. So if someone presents homeless, we're pretty good at being able to be either spotted or notified about it pretty quickly. And we've served literally thousands and thousands of veterans in this model that we've been able to get them housed, pay their rent, help get them jobs, help get them benefits, and be there as a support system. And, you know, many of the men and women that work in SSVF stay in touch with veterans that are well on their way to being certainly stable that they met could be 8-10 years ago. And we're still usually part of some connection ongoing. And sometimes, you know, things go backwards and they know who to call and they call us right away. So it's really a good program that allows us. We have a health provider, outreach individual who really we can connect to all the healthcare resources that are out there. As I mentioned before, we have housing advisors that work with us that are able to touch with the landlords. So if someone becomes homeless, where do you want to go? Here's who we know. We'll call them. We'll connect you with this folks. And that's a growing world, as well as the peers and the case management and the transportation.
So what geographic areas do you cover?
Some of our programs, like the financial literacy, cover the country. Most are fairly regional. We are in Massachusetts pretty much throughout the state with a lot of these programs. That's where we're based. That's where the most initial permanent housing was built, and we've now expanded that. We're in New York State from essentially Kingston, New York, about an hour north of New York City, all the way up to Canada, all the way out west past Buffalo. So other than the city, the southern counties in Long Island, we serve all of New York State. We're in 9 counties in central and northern New Jersey with SSVF. We've built housing in New Jersey. We built housing in Massachusetts. We're building housing in New York State. And then we have all of western Pennsylvania. So basically, Pittsburgh is the city everybody would recognize, but there's a lot of rural area. It goes almost out to State College. So it's basically a third or maybe a little more than a third of Pennsylvania. But I will add that we also have veterans from around the country who reach out and come into our transitional program as well as other programs. So that's our main area. That's the real focus, but we also have veterans. So if you're a veteran who's in, has any struggles, you can feel free to reach out to us. And you can be anywhere, and we can figure out a way. If we can't help you, who do we know there that can help you?
No, that's a great point. So with that being said, how do people find out more about Soldier On?
We have a website, and it's a little confusing, but it's the way it is. It's We Soldier On. We are Soldier On. The Soldier On was taken, so it's WESOLDIERON.org. And in there, you can learn about us, and you can also reach out to us and contact us through that line. I'm going to give you a phone number. It's 1-866-406-8449. And we have basically, it's a call center that has 3 formerly homeless veterans that answer the phone and do kind of a screening and then connect you to the right person or program once you call that number. So that's another way to reach out and get in touch with us.
You know, it's almost time for us to wrap things up. Bruce, is there one last point or topic that you want to address before we end, or one last thing you want to share?
Yeah, I think the one thing I'll add, and it's something that I've learned by doing this work, it's not something I always had as part of who I am. But, you know, I think homelessness, we've dehumanized homeless individuals by calling them homeless people. They're not homeless people. They're George, they're Susan, they're Tommy, they're whomever. And they all have a story. They all have a past. And I think recognizing the humanity of those individuals, maybe it's our mechanism to avoid having to think that could ever happen to me. I don't know, but I think just acknowledging that homeless individuals, and especially veterans in the world, because they carry burdens that we don't have to carry sometimes, it's just something to be recognized, and we see it everywhere we go. And I just think it's an awareness that is good for all of us to really put into our reality.
I think you're right. And if I could add one more point to that, there are also individuals that either volunteered or were drafted to support and defend, you know, the Constitution of the United States and laid it on the line when, you know, our nation needed them most. And so looking at that, and just like you said earlier, you know, we've got to end veteran homelessness. You know, it's our responsibility, you know, not only as Americans, but, you know, citizens of this great nation. So really appreciate, you know, what you all are doing to get after this important topic. So thanks so much, Bruce. It's been a great and very important discussion highlighting veteran homelessness and the resources that are out there for our veterans and their families that are in need. So really appreciate you and what you did discussing this topic.
Well, again, I'd like to thank you, Colonel Thomas, for your service, but for having this broadcast and having this podcast that, you know, reaches out and spreads the word, because that's the answer. Is the more people that get involved, the more solutions there are, and the closer we are to solving this problem that really should not exist in a country like ours.
Today, we discuss the story behind Soldier On and why it was established, its mission, and the services they offer to veterans. Special thanks to Bruce Buckley, the CEO of Soldier On, for his expertise on such a relevant topic. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into the Soldier for Life podcast today. Please be sure to follow or subscribe to Soldier for Life podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. As always, I'm Colonel Jerry Thomas. I'll see you again on our next show. Once a soldier, always a soldier. A soldier for life.